Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for ranks, flanks, and kings of war. Join your hosts as they delve into the world of Panathar and bring you worldwide coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Alex Chavez.
I'm Jeremy Duvall.
And I'm Rob Fanuff, and welcome to a very special edition of Countercharge in which we dive in full detail of the upcoming U.S. Masters at Nova, August 29th through September 1st. Alex, thanks for joining us and chatting about Nova and the Kings of War Masters.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to come here and talk about it. Our region is going to host the Masters. We're super excited about it. We're going to put an awesome show, I think. So I'm here to kind of talk all things about it and let everyone know what's going on.
This was a great bid. We have not yet had the U.S. Masters held at a convention style event.
I think one of the coolest things to us, at least about this bid and the idea behind it, was that we wanted to kind of expand the Kings of War scene to just the general gaming community. So our goal was to kind of highlight our scene, which we think is obviously awesome and a lot of fun. And I think our events are a blast. We wanted to make sure that we highlight that to the greater gaming community, let people kind of know what Kings of War is all about. And I think the best way to do that really is an event like Nova Open, which has a whole bunch of gamers, a whole bunch of other games. You know, it's a fun time, and overall it's a really good event. It's been a history of just running really good events and just being really cool people around there. So I think it's just a great way to kind of get us involved in that greater gaming community. I think it's really the best way to do that.
And as someone that's never been to the Nova Open, can you give me a snapshot of what it's like?
It's kind of a mini Adepticon is the best way to do it, in the best ways possible. I think Adepticon, I've been there a few times. I'm sure you've been a bunch. It's almost too big sometimes. You have like 15 different halls. You have different rooms. It's almost too hard to intermingle, right? I think one of the things about Nova is that it's great. Nova Open is that it's big. It's, you know, I think last year they had around 3,000, almost 4,000 people, which is a huge event. But it's got different halls that are all sort of centralized as far as gaming-wise. They have one hall that's kind of a fantasy room. The kind of 40 key players have their own room they kind of go into, so you can go check it out. You know, it's big enough to kind of have a lot of people and different vendors and events and all that kind of stuff going on, but you're able to kind of still, you know, stand out and kind of see everything. I think, to me, that's the best of kind of both worlds, where it's kind of a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to do, but not too big where you can't kind of get lost in the event, you know, and that's... To me, that's why I have such a good venue for it.
We're just getting ready to go to Adepticon, so it's kind of fitting to be talking about this. And Adepticon is awesome, but it is huge, right? So it that is, everyone should experience it. But sometimes it is, in certain situations, to be the big fish in the smaller pond than it is to be the small fish in the pond of 1,000,000,000 bearded giant fish running into you all the time.
Absolutely.
One of the things that Rob and I unabashedly love as boys who are older and love their toys, what's the vendor scene like? Does Nova Open have like a vendor hall?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so they do have a vendor hall. So it's kind of separate from the game, which I think it's kind of how Adepticon does it. But yeah, they kind of a walkthrough area. You can kind of check out their you know, vendors and sponsors that go there. A lot of things that they kind of sell there. They're unique or you know, things that you can check out. I know one of the other big things that Nova does, they have a lot of like sessions and like either painting sessions or classes, things like that going on. That's one thing that I know has always been really popular from sort of really well-known painters and stuff like that. So that's something that's super cool that I know a lot of people have been able to participate in.
Yeah, because they have a paint competition there, right? I think it's called the Capital Palette, sort of their crystal brush.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's their campaigning competition. And it's something that I'm going to highly recommend to everyone that's entering. If you want to enter that, please do. The cool thing about it, the Capital Palette, is that it's got three different levels. So you can say that you're a beginner and enter the beginner competition, or you can enter the, you know, sort of advanced if you really want to compete with the big boys and put it up there. But especially Kings of War players, you can enter your units in there and like put it in a unit competition, and you can get it judged on like a Saturday night and get it back before games on Sunday and get it played. So definitely gonna recommend every Kings of War player to enter that and kind of get their stuff judged.
And as we're trying to use Nova as a way to showcase Kings of War, right, to a larger community, what's a better way to that than that in the painting competition have like badass multi-based units?
Yeah.
Show off, you know, what Kings does really well on the hobby side.
Yeah, that's always been my favorite part of Kings, right? It's just the awesome creativity people have with their like, you know, unit footprint that they're able to do, right? All the cool things you can do with that. That's something that I think is really cool. And I'm definitely, you know, I know people last year that submitted stuff for the Kings War units that I think I hosted one day there last year, and it was the same thing. It was just people, you know, entering their units in, and it's cool. It's cool to get your stuff, get feedback, and it's a really good competition. I mean, I think they tout themselves as kind of the biggest non-branded competition. So like, it's kind of open to any model range. So that's one thing that's super unique about it, and that's cool, is that you don't have to be from a certain brand. You can enter in your units, whether you 3D printed them or, you know, some off-brand model that you like to, right? You can enter that model in.
Because the Adepticon painting competitions are awesome, right, Rob? But you have Golden Demon, and then you have Atomic Mass Games. That's your MCP, your Shatterpoint, Legion. You have those two companies, right, running giant, amazing paint competitions. You don't really see a lot of indie stuff at Adepticon, right, paint competition-wise. And then also, which is going to be really exciting, Mantic is going to have a presence at the Nova Open this year to be kind of there showing off stuff alongside having Masters there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's something they were able to work out, and I'm super glad they did. Again, I think it's a great opportunity to get them in front of more people. You know, to us, Nova Open's always been kind of a regional sort of event. I think, you know, it's not one that you necessarily get a lot of traveling to necessarily yet, like not the way that the Adepticon does too, but I think it's an event that's very much worth traveling to, and I think worth getting to, and I'm glad to kind of have people there that are able to check out more and more. And I think Mantic's going to hopefully expose that more.
So the event will be held August 29th through September 1st. That's Labor Day weekend in Washington, D.C. Honestly, Alex, that does make me a little nervous, right? Washington, D.C., that's a big city with lots of traffic. And so you're a guy of the city. What are some tips if you're traveling in to just navigating the city? Because it's something I think these are something you got to plan for.
I'd agree. I think that it's going to take a little bit of planning, making sure things work out well. As far as traveling, the hotel itself, where the event is, Washington Hilton, historically, it's the hotel where Reagan got shot. I don't know if anyone knows that or not, but that's sort of its claim to fame. That's why it's famous for it in the city. But it's very central, which is you know, cool in the sense that if you do want to travel around, I think it's about a mile or so from the White House. So it's kind of right in that sort of downtown area. It does have nearby Metro. So if you're flying in and you want to get to the hotel, highly recommend metroing from the airport to the hotel. That's something that's pretty massive overall. Airport-wise, there's two main airports nearby, Reagan National Airport and Dulles, which is kind of a big international airport. Both of those have Metro access to the nearby spot. So that's really going to be your best bet, I think. It's just getting there, just flying in and metroing in. I mean, Metro is super easy. That to me is the best bet. It's always going to be your best option for getting there. Otherwise, it's just walking and kind of checking out the city. Otherwise, I mean, I definitely think if you can avoid driving, I would recommend doing that. But if you drive, there's plenty of parking and stuff nearby. So that's not too big an issue.
If you're coming with your family, I mean, this is a nice destination, right? There are things for folks to do, even if they're not participating in the Nova.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, there's a ton of stuff to do in D.C., right? You know, by default, I live nearby here. I always end up being a sort of tour guide for any friends and family I have that visit nearby. So I've done that circle, and I'm happy to anyone that wants to do that, hit me up. I'll probably do something like the Friday or the Thursday. I'll probably walk people through there and check it out. You have sort of the National Mall, which is kind of the famous sort of middle area that people don't know. It's not actually a mall, so I want to clarify. It's just kind of a open park, basically, that it has sort of the National Monument, Capitol Building, as well as sort of Lincoln Memorial. Is kind of those things are all kind of connected. What we call the National Mall, which is kind of this big walking area. So you can walk that, get a ton of sights all at once, and you have all the Smithsonian Museums are in that area as well. So you have a ton of stuff that's all walking distance that you can do that's super cool. And if you haven't seen those things out, I highly recommend all those. I mean, the DC has some of the best museums in the world, and they're all free, which is super awesome. So I always tell people to check those out when you get a chance.
And we mentioned that it's being held at the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C. Currently, the hotel block is sold out, but I assume, Alex, they will add more rooms as they become available.
Yeah, that's what I'm being told, is that they're going to get more rooms available. I think there's always a rush, too, to kind of get rooms reserved. Not saying you should wait till the last minute, but there's always like room people that cancel it later and you open up again. So if you keep checking, the rooms will 100% open up again later. I know that for a fact. It's just hard to know exactly when. There's also a lot of options nearby. If you go to their website, they have three or four alternate hotels that are all like two of them are right across, literally right across the street.
And that's the Nova website?
Yep.
Yeah, because Adepticon does that too, right? They have their event space, but that is always gone in a flash. But then they tell you, here's all the other hotels that are within, you know, real short distance. And so Nova does that as well.
Exactly. If you go just, you know, nova.com/hotels, you see they have four or five, you know, alternates that they have there. You know, Airbnb, you can there's you know, a lot of options there, but and keep checking the website itself. I'm sure that more stuff will open up.
And then you guys are planning to do following the tradition of having both a Masters event and a Best of the Rest. Is that your guys' plan?
That is correct. Yeah. So right now, if you actually go look at our event, the way it works is that there's a Best of the Rest. That's kind of what everyone has to sign up for initially. If you've already qualified through your region and you're going to play, you're going to sign up for Best of the Rest. And then on June 1st, we're going to transfer everyone who's qualified according to their region reps over to the Masters event. So the Best of the event probably be about 50 to 60 people, I think. And we're hoping to get a pretty big turnout there. If you want to come play and hang out, that's the way to do it. I think sign up for that.
You bring up a good point. If you think you're going to go, whether or not you're going to qualify or you want to play Best of the Rest, either or, you can go ahead and register now. You don't have to worry about, am I going to qualify? Am I not going to qualify? Register, and then depending on where you are, you'll get dropped into the correct event. Is that basic? That's what I'm hearing?
That's exactly. If you want to go, you know, whether you're qualifying or not, exactly, sign up for Best of the Rest. That's the way to do it. We're going to wait for the region reps to kind of, you know, tell us who qualified. Obviously, everyone has their own rules, and each region has that way of doing things. So, you know, we're waiting for everyone to kind of tell us who qualified, who didn't. But absolutely, you can just buy a ticket now, and we want to make that easy, and we want to make sure that people didn't have to wait to kind of buy their ticket or to sign up like that. And that's the way to do it.
Yeah, so go ahead and sign up if you're pretty sure you want to go. You know, all this stuff like this, we've done episodes in the past about how you plan to go to an event, and the earlier you can do it, the better usually it is, and everything ends up being probably a little cheaper if you reserve and book your stuff ahead of time. So if you're thinking about the U.S. Masters or Best of the Rest, make sure registration is open. Make sure you go register Nova Open. Can you take us a little bit through, because I know there's been some questions online, and this is why we've gone to the source. Do you have to have a convention badge? And then is there a separate event ticket for Masters or Best of the Rest? Could you take us a little bit through the actual event ticket versus convention badge?
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's new for probably a lot of people, so I want to talk through that a little bit. The way it works is that you do have to have a badge and a ticket. Those are two different things you need to get. For when it comes to the badges, you have two options, and it depends on what you're planning. It was just like you said, what's why important to plan it out ahead of time. So you have the option to get either like your day badges, or you can get like an event badge, which covers all the days. So technically the event runs from Thursday to Sunday. The Kings of War event that we're running is only going to be Saturday, Sunday. So if you want to, you can just buy a Saturday and Sunday day pass individually. You can buy two day passes, and then you could buy your ticket. Alternatively, you could buy your convention standard badge, which covers the whole weekend. And I think it's roughly priced. Like I think it's maybe the 2 day passes is around the same price as the convention badge. They're very close. And that way you can sign up. So you do have to get those things separately. You have to buy the badge first, and then you have to buy the ticket for the event separate. So I want to make sure everyone understands that. And with the badge, you get, you know, kind of your goodie bags, all your stuff, your access to, and then you have access to sign up for events as well. So that's what lets you kind of sign up for, you know, you can do the Capital Palette, you can do the Kings of War Best of Rest, you can do painting classes, whatever you want to do at that point. Once you have that badge for that day of the event, then you can kind of sign up for those things. So those are two separate things. I know it's new for a lot of people, but that's the way it works out. They combine, they're around the same price you kind of would for any kind of major GT and stuff like that too. We thought we wanted to make sure it was kind of reasonable price.
And it looks like there's going to be an awesome firefight tournament that Friday. And I would think, Rob, if you're going to go to a thing like this, we always say, remember we used to say you always go to Masters on Friday, and then it was Thursday was the new Friday, right? Like 40 is the new 30, right? So you got to go on Thursday. So to me, I think if you're going to do this, you want to land on a Thursday if you can swing it.
100%.
I'm definitely recommending to people, right? I'll be there for sure. I'm already taking those days off work. I've already set it up, so I'll be there. I'll hang out, so you'll see me around. You know, I think that's the way to do it. Yeah, if you want to get the full thing experience, there's a lot of cool events. You know, even I'm going to admit, like, there's things you can do on Thursday and Friday that are really fun. There's a lot of doubles events, maybe not Kings of War. I know there's a lot of people play, like, you know, Middle Earth Strategy Battle. They have some really cool tables you can check out. They have some awesome themed tables and all that stuff. Some of the best terrain I've seen, I think, in pretty much all of Wargaming. A lot of other cool events just to check out and to review. So, you know, grab a partner. You can find a lot of cool events in that area.
Yeah, and we should mention the Firefight event is on Friday. It is at 1:00, and it looks like it's almost sold out. So when you're hearing this, you may not have a lot of time, but I assume there's probably a wait list like every other convention. So if there's interest, maybe they can find Marcelo some more space.
I'm sure they can.
Some people have asked, well, what about if I sign up, but then I actually can't go, or I sign up and I find out I don't make the team, and I decide I don't want to go for Best of the Rest? Great. You have till July 15th to cancel. and get a refund.
The refund policy is very generous. I think it's you know, it's all there and it's all public. You can find all the information. They have a ton of information on their web. That's the cool thing about it.
Most regions, Rob, finish their qualification kind of after April, May, right? Usually. So by that cutoff date, you will know if you've qualified or not.
Or an Alex Chavez probably would have qualified, but chose to not play.
I'm excited, yeah, to just kind of hang out and get to help run the event. It's my first Masters I'm not usually going to play in since we started doing Kings of War, so that's fun.
And I know we haven't started the discussion yet, but pretty soon the U.S. Masters Committee is going to start discussing the format, the scenarios, all that stuff. But in your mind, do you have an idea of when you're shooting to have a player pack ready for public consumption?
Yeah, I think June 1st, we'll have all the details, but my goal is really by probably in the next 3 weeks or so, we have the full, like, hey, we've already decided, because we try to do things, again, very democratically, where we're like, let's make sure all the regions are on board. We want to make sure that everyone agrees to the, you know, we're playing withdrawal, we're playing not withdrawal. We want to make sure everyone's on the same page. So we always, like, make sure that we vet kind of all those details to each other. So June will have everything, all scenarios, everything that's going to go. But I expect kind of April, May to have most of the details hammered out. We have sort of a temporary pack you go sign up for. You can check it. You can kind of see a placeholder. But really expect the next few weeks, really expect kind of most of the major details to be worked out.
Yeah, I expect it to be very similar to what we've done in the past. And, you know, in terms of capacity, looking at the Nova Open, looks like we've got a space for 120 players combined. I love the fact you sign up for this one event, and if you end up qualifying for the Masters, they'll just slide you over to the U.S. Masters event. Super easy.
Separate events can be confusing. You know, what if I signed up for the wrong event? You know, that kind of stuff. We didn't want to deal with that. I think, you know, luckily, I think they have this format down. We're definitely not the only invitational event it's going to be at Nova Open. This is something they're used to and dealing with. So if anyone has any questions, again, I highly recommend they reach out to either us or their rep. And if you're not sure what U.S. Masters is, you know, I recommend going to kingsofwarmasters.com. I know we have an awesome website that kind of shows everything there is to know about Masters. So there's events on there. It shows the rankings, I think, per region. There's a lot of stuff on that website. I think it's an underutilized website I'm going to plug for a second. Just I think there's so many cool things on there.
That website is really great. It has a list of running events too. So it's just a great resource for organized Kings of War play, whether or not you want, you know, you're hyper competitive or just looking to get more involved in organized play. It's a great website for that.
Alex, you got to be pumped that you already have 80 people signed up. That's a pretty good start.
We're super excited that people are you know, ready to go and signing up for it. Absolutely, yeah. Couldn't ask for more, really. I think being where we are now, we're encouraging people to sign up and you know, whether you're traveling or whether you're local to the area, you can drive by and make it. You know, either way, I think it's awesome. I think, you know, yeah, it's a really cool event overall. I think I'm super excited to have people interested in it and to sign up for it. I have people who are going to like make new armies just for the event, you know, all that stuff. So I think, you know, I encourage people to plan as much as possible and try to fit into your schedule as possible.
You already have 80 people signed up and you have space on the books for 120. What happens if 120 spots fill up, but there's still Masters players that need to sign up? That'd be a good problem to have. You have to go ask for more space.
If that does happen, we did talk through those scenarios. We have a way to get people that, again, that are Masters transferred to the event and have the new people sign up and sort of get their spots and then transfer them. So we'll kind of have that shuttle system of getting people in there and shuttle them over. We'll make room. Yeah. If we have many people where we want to show up the best of res, we'll make that work. So that's the cool thing about the event, and we'll make that work. I mean, we talked through adding more tables and stuff like that. We have some options there.
And you got to be excited about the shot in the arm that Mid-Atlantic is going to get, you know, on the local player base, because nothing invigorates a local scene like having all the national players coming in and just playing in your backyard, and it just makes people excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to every Master so far, I think they're the highlight of the year, right? Like the turn GTYs are such cool events. Just to see people's armies, the creativity, the different metas, right? You know, so it's just such a cool experience to see like the clashing of all these different people in different regions, you know, coming together to play. That's always to me been the highlight of the Masters. Like, hey, you know, let's get all the people in the same room playing, talking Kings of War. And I think super excited to have that happen again in our backyard, right? That's something that I think is going to be awesome. And our scene's been growing too here locally. So, you know, we're excited to kind of, you know, inject that as well.
And talk to me about terrain. You guys have a lot of big events, you know, the Pilgrimage, the Vanguard, Mountaineer, yep. GT. Just talk to me about what's your plan for terrain for the U.S. Masters/Best of the Rest.
We want to standardize as much as possible. I think that's one of the things that is really big. And you know, it's feedback that I get is like, you know, people didn't like the inconsistency. Hey, I was in table two, that hill was, you know, really small. Table three, that hill was half the board, right? Like those things are, we're going to try to make as standard as possible. Again, the advantage is that we have multiple GTs here that host, you know, 50 plus people regularly, right? So we just came from the pilgrimage, had 50 people. We had, back in November, we had Nuremberg GT, they had 50 people. All the TOs are really coming together to host this event. So we have, you know, we could probably put 200 tables of terrain if we needed to together to kind of make it work. But it's really, again, the important thing here is that this GT is in a collection of all the best minds that I have in the region, like working together, pulling our resources, making sure we have the terrain. But the big thing to us is making sure that we also kind of standardize it and that it's going to be very consistent from table to table. That's something that we expect and that's what we plan to do.
Talking about standardization, you know, we've done a pretty good job of recent years of the number of pieces and the way they're laid out via a map, but also, as you mentioned, you know, the size, right? So it's not just the location and the number of pieces, but it's also the standardization of this is blocking terrain and standardizes, because what you want from that is you want everybody to come to the table with the same opportunity.
Yes, exactly. And that's going to be part of the pack, right? We're going to tell you, like, there's not walking up and going, hey, you know, this is this, what's height is this tower? I don't know. It looks kind of small. You know, like we have to figure that out. Like it's going to be, everything's going to be, that's part of the player's pack, is that we're going to have all the heights of terrains, obviously. Everything's going to be standardized as far as the heights and, you know, the general sizes and the maps are going to be standardized kind of so everyone's playing on the same thing. And again, we're going to publish as much as we can ahead of time so people know going into the event, you know, what to do ahead of time. That's something that's obviously, we want it to be fair as possible, right? That's something that we don't want to compromise that at all. And that's something that we're happy that we can easily deliver on, I think. So that's something we're worried about.
You know, and like terrain can win or lose you the game, right? But you want it to be that as far as your gameplay, not the terrain is going to win you or lose you the game because you happen to be on a table where the forest is like 2 inches square or 2 inches circle, right? And you're playing against a shooting army. You don't mind. It's all like, oh, I lost because I didn't move into the train correctly or whatever, but having that consistency between tables so you don't feel like right off the bat you got, just by the luck of the draw, you got put on a table which there's no chance. That's awesome that you guys are trying to find that balance.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're very aware of that, of those kind of nuances, right, and how much they make an impact, right? Because sometimes it doesn't seem like a big deal, but it really does, right? And that's, you know, it almost affects your army design too. If, like, you know, some events I've seen, like, hey, you know, this piece of blocking terrain is only height 6 or whatever, height 4. And like, it makes a huge difference when, like, oh, I'm nice to see them this. Now I can, right? Like, those things change a lot. So we want to make sure that eliminate all those kind of crazy variables and make sure that everyone kind of knows what they're getting into. That's a big piece for us.
So talk to me about sort of on-site media coverage. Are you guys going to be doing any live streaming? What's sort of like your thoughts on media type support during the Masters?
We are going to be live streaming. So we're going to have one table live streamed. Luckily, we have Mike Adkins running that. So he's kind of awesome when it comes to all things media. So he's going to kind of bring the whole Dash 28 presence to Nova Open. So he's going to be kind of making sure that the coverage and the commentary and all the things we need from live streaming. We'll probably do top table most rounds. Maybe we'll highlight certain fun events to start with, you know, on the first round, and then kind of go for top tables. I think we want to put more focus on that. I know, you know, sometimes you can, people have multiple tables, probably have just one, I think, and really just focus on like that game. I think sometimes it's hard to like jump between games, and as cool as that is, I think sometimes you lose like focus as far as like what's actually happening. Like our goal is to really have that presence there, is to like make sure that we cover everything and that we're able to kind of we'll check that out. So that's something we're super excited to have.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see that, because in the past, our Masters live stream coverage, which don't get me wrong, has been fantastic from when Matt and Pat Allen did it first in Texas, and then Matt Carmack sort of taking the reins from that. But as far as listening to constructive critiques, that has been one where in between switching between tables, you miss a really important role, or you switch tables and then you come back to the other table and the board state's completely different and you're trying to figure out, you know, like, oh my gosh, what happened? So I'm curious to see what people think and what the feedback is from the singular table. And then, like you said, Mike has tons of experience from live streaming UB games. And I know there's a bunch of great Dash 28 contributors. Is it in his mind, is he going to be doing commentating with other people? Is there going to be people who can drop in and help him commentate? Or do you know any of his plans on his team he's going to be building to do play-by-play?
Yeah, so my understanding is going to do it in that Dash 28 style, right? We have kind of guest coverage, right? So which is fun, right? Because you get to have people all over the world that kind of come in and check it out, right?
So cool.
So we have that same resource and pool of people we're going to tap into and kind of check it out. And you guys have hopefully seen those. They do an awesome job, right? I mean, those guys, I haven't done one in a hot minute myself, but they're always a blast to kind of check out and to watch. And I go back and I'll watch random games to like just check out and you know, watch the commentary. So that's going to live in YouTube and exist, you know, kind of forever.
Yeah, Mike is great. He's, you know, an amazing painter, a fantastic player in his own right, but just does a really good job, and all his live streams are so good. And in that Dash 28, you get that sort of, like you said, polish, right? Everything Dash 28 does has that polish. And then also he's pulling people for his commentating team from best in the world, whether it's from Australia or from England or from wherever. A lot of the Dash 28 contributors are sort of the leading minds in their own spaces. So it's going to be really interesting to hear what they think. You know, metas are always different, right? So what's going on at our Masters might be different from UK or Australia or whatever. So having that international perspective is always really fascinating. So
to me, it's one of the highlights. Like, right, it's like I have to see, you know, see other people think like, oh, hey, this is really cool. Like, you know, how does this relate to what you see in your backyard, right? It's like, oh, hey, we don't really see units like this, or, you know, and that's part of the lure of Masters in general, right? It's the fact that, hey, you know, what are they doing, you know, maybe in Texas compared to what they're doing in like the New England, right? Those are, you know, two very different metas, and I always love that kind of clash to see, hey, how does that work out, right? That's always the fun of it, right?
Speaking of bringing people together from all those different regions, do you guys have any thoughts for like an extra, is there any organized dinners? Or I know in a convention style, it's a little bit more hectic, but have you guys had any ideas for like any social get-togethers or community building type stuff, maybe in the evenings or anything? Is there anything like that going on?
As far as hanging out at Masters, I think there's a lot of cool things to do in the area. Again, a lot of things in DC. One of the things I like about Nova Open a lot is they have an awesome hangout space. They have basically two giant halls dedicated to just open gaming, board games. I'm a huge board game fan myself. I that's kind of one of the main reasons and things I love to do at these events is like, hey, let's all just hang around and play other board games, other random, you know, deduction games or whatever you want to do. Nova Open has no shortage of that. So there's tons of open space if people want to hang out, you know, mingle, talk about their games, or play in other games. That's to me, that's one of the highlights and reasons to go to Nova Open. And they have tons of stuff there. They have spot nearby, just open tables. And, you know, if you just want to come hang out and not even play the Masters and just hang out, play Best of Rest or just come out and play games and hang out there, I highly encourage people to do that as well. I think that's one of the best things you can do there. Hang out and play board games and just talk to people and see what's going on. So to me, that's something that everyone can take advantage of. I'm probably going to try to do something Friday for anyone that does come early, like trying to organize like maybe a group tour or something that we can like walk around DC or something like that. I think that'd be super cool to kind of people that do want to take the extra day to do that. You know, again, the cool thing about DC is you can kind of like, you know, so many things are so compact together that you can like kind of hit the highlights very quickly, right? So you can spend like half a day and you know, you're surprised how many steps you can get in half a day and kind of get together. But as far as like get together, hangouts, stuff like that, it's not a lot of that necessarily planned right away. The hotel itself is a massive hotel. So there's like, I think like three restaurants inside the hotel, something like that. There's a bunch of like bars and space like that. So there's things like that that, you know, we can kind of coordinate very quickly and set up. So as we get more information, I'll post it up. But we'll try to kind of make sure that everyone knows where everyone is. I know there's always kind of a group chat going into every Masters that kind of has way too many people and it gets a bit hectic, but I think we're planning to do the same thing. We're going to kind of make sure the information's out there. Everyone knows and kind of just create a giant group that kind of gets that information out there, but there's plenty of space nearby and a lot of good food options nearby as well.
So Alex, what are your hopes?
To me, the two big goals to us is we want to make it, a big event, right? We want to have 60 and 60 people, you know, your 64 Masters players, 60 something Best of Rest, side by side playing together. I think it's super cool. So we want to make it one of the biggest events. I think it'd be awesome. We also wanted to just, again, make it a really smooth event. I think to me, I want to make it just an event where we have people walking by saying, oh, these guys are having fun and rolling dice, right? Well, what are they doing, right? So I'm going to be there. We're going to have people nearby running demos. We're going to have a lot of stuff kind of going on, all things Kings of War. So to me, it's going to be, the goal of the event is to really just kind of showcase the event to the greater community, talk to people, have a great time. And again, to me, I get to do that instead of playing, right? I get to focus on that and I have less stress and less pressure, but a different kind of pressure, I guess, and different kind of stress. So I'm super excited to see that.
And obviously, this is the start of a beautiful relationship with Nova. I know we have the U.S. Masters there this year, but, you know, I'm assuming this is going to become a staple in the Mid-Atlantic tournament scene going forward.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so we'll be there every year going forward. So this will be kind of one of the GTs that happens in our region, and it'll be, you know, probably not the same size or scale that you know, you can get with the Masters attention on it, right? So probably scale that a little bit. But yeah, if we can keep that sort of best of rest size for future events, that's kind of what we're planning, is to really make it an ongoing GT in part of our region. So something that people can come to and have fun.
Yeah, also at the 2024 Masters coming up, West Coast is holding Masters in 2025. That will be an exciting event. We will be releasing information. Our plan is to debut our plans at Nova for the following year's Masters. You know, Rob, we've been doing that now for like a little bit, where at each Masters, it's our goal as a Masters Council to say, welcome to Masters, have a great time. You know, can't wait for you guys to have a fantastic weekend. And also next year, this is our plan, so that you know, sort of at Masters, it's revealed the plans for next Masters. So we're still finalizing, getting all our details together. But it's going to be a fantastic event. We're really excited. One of our main goals is, when you're coming out to the West Coast and a West Coast event, we respect your travel. So we really, like, just as Alex talked about all the effort they're making it for their event, the same thing. When you're on the coast, you really want to respect that people got to travel to get to you, especially for Masters. So not only should you try to have a really great event, but you should go extra, right? You should, like, my favorite band, right? You got to turn it up to 11 when you're hosting Masters on a coast. You really got to, you know. So I know we're just as focused as you guys to try to make that a great event. Because, right, Alex, it is a lot to get coast-to-coast travel is not an easy thing. So you want to really make it worth it.
Totally agree. You know, I'm super excited to see what you guys have planned. You know, traveling can be difficult, right? It's one of the biggest issues of people, you know, getting these events. And you know, the one advantage is that, you know, not everyone can drive to Washington, D.C. I understand that. But, you know, and same thing for the West Coast. But you want to make flying as convenient as possible, right? Are there nearby airports that are affordable? And that's kind of our big thing there. It's like, hey, everyone can kind of fly to D.C., right? There's no way you can't get a flight that's probably direct, you know, if not, maybe one or two connections. But almost everyone has a really cheap direct flight to D.C. And that was kind of one of the biggest selling points to us about making the event here.
I'm excited. I know Rob's excited. I know a lot of people are super excited about going. I love miniature conventions, i.e. I say this right before Rob and I are getting ready to fly to Adepticon. So Nova's always been in the radar, you know, as a growing event. Like, you hear Adepticon, you hear LVO, right? You hear Nova Open. So I think, and if you haven't gone to a miniatures convention, they are really fun, especially if you love like multiple games or multiple game systems. So I'm excited to check out a new miniature convention. Yeah, and there's lots of ways to go. If you can't do a hotel, check it with your buddies. Airbnbs are always a great option when you're going to an event like this, right, Rob? Get a few guys together, get an Airbnb. Usually it ends up being the same or cheaper than a hotel, and you have your own space, your own bathroom, maybe, you know what I mean? So that can be like a good alternative. If people are struggling to get into the hotel, right, maybe check some other options.
When you go into like an Airbnb space, it's more bonding with your bros that you wouldn't get. It's awesome. From my perspective, I think this is interesting. You know, obviously Mid-Atlantic this year, West Coast the next year. That ends that rotation. So when we started this dream 9 years ago or whatever it was, 9 years, I think so, because we hosted a second time in Texas during COVID. We said from the beginning, everybody gets a shot to host it. And I think we are close to fulfilling that promise. So it'll be interesting to see what the future holds after that.
Yeah, because there's been lots of ideas, right, Rob, about refreshing, you know, there's been ideas of, you know, how you vote, you have Masters held every year in the center of the country, you know, there's so many people, everyone has their thoughts, their impassioned thoughts about where and how Masters should be hosted. And just know to the greater community that your Masters Council is just as impassioned to try to bring you guys the best Masters experience. But it is a lot of regions with different perspectives and different goals. But I feel in the end, the council always comes together and tries to do what we feel as community leaders in our own local areas, what's best for the for both our scene, but also the scene as a whole. Because when you think about Masters, right, Rob, it really is about the country scene, right? It's how do we take our help encourage the growth of our home scenes, but in the effort to try to play the game on a more, you know, grander scale. And I think Masters has really achieved that grand scale feeling the last couple of years.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think we talk about like coming together, making an awesome event, and letting different regions kind of do their thing and space that. It's to me, we've hit that mark every time, right? It's super fun to see that. Again, I've been to every Masters, right? So I'm an advantage that I've been there and I've been to all of them. They're all blasts. I mean, I think they're fun and you know, we're taking all that experience and feedback to make our event as best we can. Super excited to see what you guys do with Jeremy. And yeah, after that, I'm curious to see where we go from there. I think there's a lot of interesting conversations and discussion points to figure out. You know, it's a sort of blank canvas, so to speak, of us kind of figuring out what we want to do with the event going forward.
I like that metaphor of the blank canvas because it really is, right? We can do whatever we want.
Right, exactly. I think we complete the rotation. I think if you have thoughts, you know, let us know, right? I think you know, again, every everyone that's on the Masters Council, I think, takes a lot of feedback from their region. So if you have thoughts, you know, share it with someone.
Yeah, if you don't know who your local rep is, you can go on to the Masters website and send an email that will go directly to your region rep. So if you're curious and wanting to get more involved in your local community in the United States, check out that website and that will get you connected with your region rep. So, Rob, another Masters. I don't even know what to do. I have Adepticon next week, and then we have Masters at Nova. It's just going to be, and then Lone Wolf's around the corner, and this Lone Wolf's going to have people from the UK. Oh, man, it's just like so many awesome events for the rest of the year.
A very packed schedule. It's a great problem to have. Throwing back to Alex, you know, just kind of wrap us up. How excited are you? I know this is something a long time coming. You're close now.
I absolutely. I mean, I think it's been, you know, multiple years of submitting bids and kind of figuring it out and having these things play out in your head, right? Like what you want to do, you know, so that's kind of the way we're looking at it. It's like we have every chance to make things perfect now, right? Like we're going to really run the best event possible. And that's our goal, right? That's really what it comes down to me. I want everyone there to have a blast, make it a super smooth event. You know, we're going to use every resource we have available. I have a team of four TOs working with me to make sure this goes as smooth as possible. I'm not taking any chances, right? I'm going to be multiple judges walking around. Just making sure everything looks good, works well. I wanted this to be an overall awesome event, right? That's my goal, is to make this the best event I can possibly make it. And that's you know, to me, it's almost preferred that I had as much time as I did to kind of work on it and to, you know, figure out every little detail and to make it work. You know, the funny thing is I'm actually not one of the TO, like I'm actually not a TO in our region in that sense, right? I haven't really hosted events on a regular schedule before. So it's good and bad, right? I had to bring in an outside perspective as a player because usually I'm playing these events, but also I have a team to rely on that helps me to kind of make the important decisions. So I think it's kind of funny in that sense. I always got away with not having to host an event. now I have to host, you know, one of the bigger events. So it's a funny sort of reversal from my point of view. But yeah, again, I'm super excited about it for all those reasons, right? It's going to be a lot of fun to kind of, you know, work that out and to make that work for everyone. I think if you come here, you're going to have a great time. I think that's pretty much guaranteed.
It's an important point to make, which is it takes an army to do these things, right? I know when I held the first Kings of War Masters, I don't remember the year. It's a long time ago. I'm only one of many people. A bunch of other people helped. Same with you. You've got Marcelo's helping and you've got Chris Fisher and Michael Atkins. Yep. And it does take an army of people to do this, especially when you're talking about the scale that we're doing. And, you know, when I did it, we didn't have Best of the Rest. That wasn't even a pipe dream then. Because, you know, back then we didn't have a full Masters. We had to get mercenaries. And now we're kind of beyond that. You know, people have full teams. And so now we're transcending. And so I'm really excited. It seems like every year we keep upping the bar. The next Masters is the best Masters.
That's always the blessing and the curse, right? It's like you have more expectations and more to do, but same time, that's I think one of the big benefits of the sort of bidding process that we had, and it's sort of everyone tries to up the bar every year, right? To make the bet a little bit better, something that's unique and hang out. Some always stands out about it. So to me, I think I'm hoping that, you know, we get to live up to those expectations and we make the event as good as possible. I know it's not easy for everyone to get here. I do understand that, and so those that do come here, we'll make sure that you guys have an awesome time. So, you know. Yeah, you can definitely rely on that.
Awesome. Registration's open, folks. Get signed up. It's going briskly. Same thing with hotels. You know, get your amenities set up. If you have questions, reach out to Alex, Mike Atkins, and the rest of the team that's pulling this off in the Mid-Atlantic. They're happy to help. And I look forward to seeing everybody on Labor Day weekend in Washington, D.C. Well, that's going to do us tonight. And until next time, keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by commenting on the Countercharge Kings of War podcast Facebook group. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.